It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the blessed, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were all washed away. Let me tell the old story of His grace so full and free. Let my heart keep giving Him the glory for His wondrous love to me. For His wondrous love to me. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I found such perfect rest, where the light first dawned on my spirit, and my soul was fully blessed. Let me tell the old story of His grace so full and free. Let my heart keep giving Him the glory for His wondrous love to me. For His wondrous love to me. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I brought my guilt and sin, where He paid my debt and forgave me. For He died my soul to win. Let me tell the old story of His grace so full and free. Let my heart keep giving Him the glory for His wondrous love to me. For His wondrous love to me.
Man, that's a blessing. Wonderful. I was thinking about that song early this morning. Had no idea who was even singing today. And now to have that extra blessing. Wonderful. We're going to go to the book of 1 Kings this morning, back in the Old Testament, to a familiar story. We've been in this chapter, in this story many times. But the old book never runs dry, folks. It just never does. And always something to dig out of God's well there. And drink from it. And so this morning we'll do that, hopefully, and ask the Lord to speak to us through this chapter and this story once again. If you found 1 Kings 18 and you're able to stand, do that in honor of God's word. And I'll begin reading in verse 36. So toward the end of the chapter, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you can have revival. You can have revival. Father, I praise you for your word. Thank you for the beautiful songs we've heard this morning, the great choir song about Christ, and hear about the love of Christ through Brother Tony's song, and the fellowship of being together. And now with the Holy Spirit, we pray you'll have your way in these moments. Lord, speak to us. We are a needy people, a needy people. And I ask you, God, please, to do a good work in our hearts today through the service here in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus gave us a wonderful prayer promise in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. I won't turn there. But this is what Jesus said to his disciples. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever do you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now listen to that verse again. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The order of the words in the verse is important. Desire, pray, and believe. There has to be a desire that drives us to prayer. And when we pray, we don't just speak words out into the air with nothing behind them. We believe. We pray believing. Pray with faith. Pray expecting God to send the desired request. Now, that's a good prayer promise in light of our meeting that starts next Sunday morning. Desire, pray, believe. And Jesus gave that promise as a follow-up to his command a few verses earlier, where he simply said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then he said, well, if you need something, you want something that's legitimate within my will, desire and pray and believe, and you'll get the answer to your request. Now, the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, standing against 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets that ate at Jezebel's table, is very familiar to us. The children of Israel summarized, the children of Israel were vacillating between serving Jehovah God and serving Baal, back and forth like a ping pong ball. And Elijah got weary of that. More importantly, I think God was weary of that. And Elijah issued a challenge to the nation of Israel. They were going to decide the question, who's God? Is Jehovah God God or is Baal God? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to erect an altar. We're going to put wood on it, put a sacrifice on it. And then all of you prophets are going to call on your deity. You're going to call on Baal. And then I'm going to call on Jehovah God. And the one that answers by fire will be God. And the people said, we're in. Let's do this. And so that's what happened here. Now, you know what happened. Elijah prayed and God sent fire. Now, we don't need the kind of fire that fell on the altar in response to Elijah's prayer. We don't need literal fire to come down and burn up this auditorium and toast everybody in here, okay? I'm not really looking for that. I don't know if you are or not. I'm not looking for that. We need the kind of fire that John the Baptist talked about in Matthew chapter 3 in verse number 11. When speaking about Jesus, he said, he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And you remember on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 followers of Christ were in the upper room, had been there 10 days praying, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember that cloven tongues, like as of fire, sat upon each of them. A visible evidence that the Holy Spirit was filling them, was at work in their life. And people, I believe with all of my heart, if we desire, if we pray, and we pray believing concerning revival and biblical revival, that God will send the fire of the Holy Ghost to do a work of reviving in our hearts. You know what revive means? Revive means restoring, repairing, and renewing. Amen. Restoring, repairing, and renewing. You, me, we can have revival. We can have a restoring of our spiritual vigor. We can have a repairing. We can have a renewing of life. Renew us, Lord, with life. That's our song we're singing. It's biblical. Now, remember Jesus' prayer promise. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Desire, pray, believe. We see all three verbs at work in this story. All three verbs are at work in the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. And I want to show you them this morning. Look, number one, at desire. Remember the first verb is desire. Look at verse number 21. We see Elijah's desire. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. That's what I said earlier. That was Elijah's desire. His desire was for the people to stop vacillating between Jehovah and Baal. And look, let's sell out to the one who's God. So if Baal is God, let's sell out to Baal. But if Jehovah God is God, let's sell out to him. The truth of the matter is, folks, when you read the whole chapter, Elijah wanted Jehovah God to be recognized as the one true God of Israel. Did you catch that in our text verse, verse number 36? Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. There's only one God. And his name is Jehovah God. And that's what Elijah wanted. Elijah wanted all this vacillating to end. And by the way, God had revealed himself to Israel already that he was the one true God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord Jehovah, our God, is one Lord. And Elijah desired for God, Jehovah God, to have that exalted position amongst the Israelite people. Hey, you know what? Elijah had no selfish desires here. This was not about him. This was not about his place among the prophets of God. This was not about his ministry. This was a pure desire, which, by the way, coincided with the desire of Jehovah God to be worshiped and served by his people. So you know what Elijah's desire was? Elijah's desire was just that God would get what he deserved and what he wanted. And I want to say to you today, God's deserving of the same thing. And he's deserving of it from me and you. He's deserving of our worship. He's deserving of our service. He is deserving of our dedication. And by the way, he expects it. He expects it. And that was Elijah's desire. And we should have the same desire as Elijah. We should long for God to help us stop vacillating between serving him and serving the world. Now, church, listen, it is time for some of you to get over some of the things that you've allowed to become hurdles between you and God. Get over those things. You know, some of God's people have just hunkered down in certain areas of your life, like I talked about last Sunday night, hardened the ground, and you're not about to even consider whether God wants to change that about you. Not willing to consider it. It's done and settled. That ground's so hard. That ground's hard as a rock. You're hard. And your heart is hard. It's hard ground. And you can argue with me about it all you want to. But hey, listen, every parent in this room, you know if your child has a hard heart, you can see it where? Where can you see it? On the face. You see it on the face. You can see it in their eyes. And it's the same for adults. Now, you're not my children. But I look on your faces, folks. I preach to you. And it's obvious when I'm on a certain subject that your heart is fixed about it. You're not moving me. You're not moving me. I'm fixed. You're set. You're so set that if God sent the rain of the Holy Ghost on your heart, the seed of his word would just wash away. Because the ground has never been tilled. It's never been plowed up. And if you're going to have seed produced, the ground has to be plowed up. It has to be tilled so that the seed can sink in the soil. And then God sends the rain and the ground produces. I'm sure I'm not the only preacher that experiences this. People's hearts are hard in certain areas. Don't you know? I don't care. You can preach on that every Sunday. I'm not changing. Now, we can desire for restoration, for repairing and renewal spiritually. And by the way, folks, if I didn't come to you like this and hold all of our feet to the fire, I might as well just resign and go get an honest job and make money. And my job is not to make everybody comfortable. My job is to preach truth. And what truth does, okay? You can have revival. This is not some crazy wildfire stuff. You can have restoration, repairing, renewal spiritually. It would be good for us to hunger and thirst for God to move in our lives. To see God do something for us for once that's spiritual in nature. You know, we have strong desires for things that are physical, strong desires for things that are financial in nature, but nothing ever stirs in our hearts for God to do something. Why is that? Why is that? You know, there's a reason why God uses physical desires, physical appetites, like hunger and thirst, to challenge us spiritually, because we can relate to hunger and thirst. We all know what it means to be hungry, and we all know what it means to be thirsty, and we all know we get hungry enough and thirsty enough to the point that we will stop and do whatever it takes to satisfy that appetite. If I have to pull off the road on a long trip to pull through a McDonald's, which I know is not the best for me, but I'll do it because I'm what? And if I'm thirsty and I don't have a bottle of water in the car, then we'll stop and we'll pull into a Casey's or some other place and get out and pay for one bottle what we could have bought the whole case for at the grocery store. Amen. And kick ourselves all the way back to the car, but we have our water. There's a reason why Jesus said in Matthew 5, they that hunger and thirst after hunger and thirst, hunger, we understand hunger. We understand thirst. They are physical appetites that we will diligently satisfy. And that's fine. It's just a shame if we never apply it to our life spiritually. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to stop Monday evening and come to church?
Amen. That's good.
You willing to stop Tuesday night and be here for the service? Are you willing to stop? I mean, this is what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about a desire here. We're talking about a strong desire. It'd be good for us to get hungry and thirsty enough spiritually to the point that we are willing to stop, pause our lives, our plans, whatever we're doing, and make sure that I put myself where I can get my spiritual needs satisfied. The psalmist said in chapter 42, verse 1, listen to this verse, as the heart, that's a deer, as the heart. There's a song that sometimes, right? As the deer. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. Now don't, so panteth my soul after a Big Mac? A Coca-Cola? So panteth my soul after you, thee, O God. That's what I'm hungry for. That's what I'm thirsty for. The deer, they pant after water, and they make sure that that desire is satisfied. And in like manner, we should desire for God to move in our lives. I was very encouraged, a couple, 3 weeks ago, you know, when a brother here in the church, he came and he said, Pastor, he said, you know what? He said, my wife and I, we are altering our plans to be, we were planned to be out of town. We're altering our plans so that we can be here for the revival services. And I don't know. I just said, amen. That's what, I don't know if that's done because of, out of loyalty to the church program or a desire to be where God could do a work in their hearts. My opinion is probably a combination of both. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with a member of Faith Baptist Church being loyal to the program of the church. You're loyal to your work. And that's okay. But there's nothing wrong with a church member being loyal to the program of the church. There has to be a desire. There's got to be something hunger and thirsting in our hearts for God to speak to us. So you see the word, the verb desire in this passage here. The one Jesus talked about. Desire, you see it here in the story of Elijah. Now, the second verb, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So the second verb is the word pray. You find that in verses 36 and 37. Now, I'm not going to read those verses again, but I want you to notice something with me. Just look at it, okay? Where you see the middle of verse 36, see that? Where the prophet came near and said, right there, Lord, you see that? Now, you go from that word Lord all the way down to verse number 37, the end, the word again. You know how many words that is? 63. I counted them, and then so did Microsoft. Is that what that is, Microsoft? The computer program, I highlighted them, put them on a file. At the bottom, it said 63 words. 63-word prayer. Now, listen. I read those words aloud. Hit the stopwatch. And read those words out loud, and it took me 18.8 seconds to read those words. Then Elijah prayed. 18.8 seconds. Now, let's say that Elijah maybe prayed them, you know, a little slower and more emphatically. So let's say it took him 30 seconds. Compare that 30-second prayer to the hours that the false prophets had prayed. They had prayed from morning through noon until the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, I did a little research. I probably should have done more. Probably should have worked a little harder at it to find out, can we learn when the time of the evening sacrifice was? And I just didn't come up with it. But it talked about going into the afternoon. So these fellas, these men had been crying out and jumping around and cutting themselves for 7 to 8 hours. All to no avail. And Elijah prayed for 30 seconds. And the fire fell. 30 seconds. Now, they were crying out to false gods. Gods who could not hear. Gods who could not answer. And I'll tell you what, worse than that, gods that didn't even care. Had no potential to care. But you know what Elijah's God did? Elijah's God heard. And Elijah's God answered. Because Elijah's God cared. And that same God is alive and well on the throne of heaven today. Have you uttered any amount of sincere prayer to your God about revival? 30 seconds? 30 seconds? Have you uttered anything? He prayed for 30 seconds and God answered his prayer. I love what David prayed in Psalm 144, verse number 5. They don't turn to it, but man, I meditated on this verse a little bit. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. What's David asking? David is asking, God, would you please bring a little bit of heaven down here to earth? Would you bow heaven low, sweep heaven low? And I've been saying all along, that's what revival is. Revival is when God visits his people. Bow the heavens. Bring them low. And the Lord, touch the mountains and they will smoke. It would be wonderful if God brought a little bit of heaven down to us. It'd be wonderful if he would touch the mountains of pride and the mountains of hardness in our heart and burn them up. You say, Pastor, that sounds uncomfortable. I'm not sure I want to be visited by God like that. Well, you're not going to feel fire burning in your body. It's silly. We don't need fire burning in our body. We need the pride and the hardness to be dissolved. Amen. And it takes God to do that.
Amen.
No pastor can do that. No guest speaker can do that. But God can.
Amen.
God can do that. You say, it sounds uncomfortable to me. And that's why some people really, I don't even want revival, because I know it's a time of introspection and examination and laying it all out there and asking. But folks, hey, I remind you of John chapter 5, where the pool of Bethesda and those porches, those five porches that surrounded the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says that they were full of impotent people, weak, sick people. I'm going to burst your bubble this morning. But that's me and that's you. That's all of us in this room. And the placid waters of the pool of Bethesda never helped anybody. Nobody got any help until the waters were what? Troubled.
Amen.
Troubled. Amen. And when the water was troubled, the first weak, impotent person that could crawl and touch the water, they were healed. Now, we understand that was in biblical times when Jesus was walking on the earth in his public ministry, and we're not going to put a pool up here and you know, trouble the water and people come down on crutches and touch it and throw their crutches away. We're not about to do that. That's a bunch of hocus pocus junk. But we are asking God, if necessary, to trouble us, bother us, put his finger on something that really makes us uncomfortable, and do a work in me, because placid water has never provided power to help, but troubled water does. And if any of us are going to get any help from God for our spiritual weaknesses, it's going to take some troubling to see it done. I'm preaching again tonight on the subject of revival. The mercy of revival. You say, well, I'm not coming. Okay. That'll fix it. You say, why? Last Sunday night and today? Because I don't want to come next Sunday and Brother Ross have to break the hard ground to get us so we could get some. It'd be wonderful if we come in next Sunday morning with the hard ground broken. Elijah desired and Elijah prayed. But Jesus did not stop in his prayer promise with desire and pray. And when ye pray, believe. Believe. And you see believe in this story. That's the third verb. You see believe. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek things. Him.
Amen.
God, I know you sit on the throne of heaven. You sit on the throne of the universe, your creator, judge, potentate. But I believe in who you are, and I'm desiring and I'm praying and I'm praying with faith, believing that you can do a work in my heart.
Amen.
Must believe. must believe. Faith is a must in the matter of experience and revival. We must believe that God can and will send the work of the Holy Spirit to work in us. In Elijah's belief, his faith was visible. You say, I don't see his belief in this story. Well, let me point it out to you. Look at verse number 30. Look at verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He repaired the altar. He repaired the altar. The altar was broken down. Why was the altar broken down? Because the false prophets were jumping on it. And Elijah wanted the altar in a good condition because he believed God would send fire. So what's the condition of your heart this morning? Has the altar of your heart been broken down? Hey, church. Has the altar of your heart been broken down by the busyness of life? Has your time with God been so slowly squeezed out? The finances are taken care of. The chores around the house are done. The children are played with. Things at work are on schedule. Everything is humming along. But, you know, there just really hasn't been any time for God. You know what you need? You need a repaired altar. You need a repaired altar. Come on now. You need a repaired altar. So he repaired the altar. That's a visible sign of his belief. I'm going to fix this altar up because I know God's going to send fire. In verse number 33, he put wood on the altar. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar. And in verse number 33, and he put the wood in order. So he put the wood in order on the altar. Now the wood, what's the wood necessary for? The wood is necessary for fire. Now think with me. Personally, I don't believe that Elijah thought God would send fire so intense that it would destroy the stones. Maybe he did. There had to be something combustible on that altar. This wise man said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So church, is the wood set in order in your heart? In other words, is your heart in a combustible condition? Is it prepared for fire? Not literal fire like they had here. But the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said John the Baptist had a heart that was combustible because Christ said about John, he was a burning and a shining light. Is there anything prepared in your heart that's combustible? Believing God will answer the prayer for revival? He repaired the altar. He put wood in order. Verse number 33, he put the sacrifice on the wood. He took the bullock and he put the bullock on top of the repaired altar in the wood. So here you got the repaired altar. Here you've got the combustible material. And now here's the sacrifice. And for me and you, it's not a cow. It's not an animal. You know who it is? It's us. It's us. And we repair our heart. And we make sure it's in a combustible condition. And then we crawl up on top of the wood of the altar in our heart and say, oh God, do what you will. And can I say this, that the bullock had to die before it could be placed on the altar? You think that bullock would have stayed on there if it had had life? It had put a living bullock on the altar? No. And you and I have to die to self if we want to be a living sacrifice for God. Now I'm really going to shake up your week. Might be a good week to leave the TV off. Might be a good week just to, you know, do what's necessary on the computer and get off. Well, what am I going to do? I can't do that. You can't? No, you can have revival. I'm not talking about spooky stuff, folks. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about spooky. I'm not talking about jumping and yelling and screaming and speaking in some unknown tongue and blah, 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 and rock music blaring everywhere. I'm not talking about that. What are you talking about? I'm talking about God doing something in our hearts, working. I mean, working. You remember when you got saved? Remember how God stirred your heart? I'm lost. I'm not saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. Remember the work of the Holy Spirit? What's happened to that work, that same work of conviction and change in us? Verse 33 and 34, he gave up that which was precious. Remember what he did? I'm running out of time, so listen. Repaired the altar, put the wood on there, put the bullock on there, and he said, okay, take those barrels over there. There's four of them. Was it four? Yeah. Take those barrels over there. Fill them up with water. With what? What? Water. H2O. Whoa, 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 whoa. It hasn't rained. There's been no dew for 3.5 years. We're in severe drought. The brooks are drying up. And we're going to dump water on this? Yep. Do it again. Can you imagine? I try to envision those false prophets. They're over there. They're putting Band-Aids on all their cuts, you know, and sitting around licking their wounds. And there's this guy dumping water. 12, what would that be? 3 times 4, 12 times? A 12 barrel full? So what is Elijah doing? He's giving up that which was precious. What's precious to you and me? Time? Time? Let me tell you when time starts getting precious to you. When you're Dick Scow. When you're like some of the dear people in this room who are in their 80s. And they're looking at life. The bulk of it lived in the rearview mirror now. Time's precious to us. And you know what is crazy? Can you and I create time? Now we can only use it. Who gives us time? God does. And isn't it interesting what people find time for and what they don't find time for? And I really should say it's almost sad. God gives us time. All we can do is use it for certain purposes. And do you reckon it might please the one who gives us time if we were willing to use some of that time for his purposes? Amen. I don't have time. I'm too busy. Time is precious to me. Yeah. And because it is, giving it to God is precious to him. Amen. Now, folks, look, I'll say more about this tonight. But there's revival in the news right now. Okay? But we're not asking for that. I don't even want that. I have no desire for that. None. What I have a desire for is God to do something in this old boy's heart. I've been saved almost 48 years now, and transparency and confession maybe is a good thing. You know what? Old Terry Angel would say 48 years. He needs God to stir him up. Oh, yeah. Well, you're pastor. I am flesh. Flesh. And I'm looking forward to sitting in this room and putting myself with my Bible at the feet of a man of God that I know will bring Bible-based messages. And I'm praying. You know, I'm praying for you, but I'm really praying also for me. Start. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Can I remind you what Leonard Ravenhill said? It's on your announcement sheet. As long as we are content to live without revival, we will. We'll live without it. I don't know about you. I don't want that kind of contentment. You can have revival, the right kind of biblical revival. Let's pray. Thank you for listening this morning to our book from the Word of God. All right, so heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray in just a moment before I do. Pastor, I'm don't know that I've gotten on board, but I'm getting there. And I would like to experience what you pointed out of God's Word today. I'd like to experience a restoring, a renewing, a reviving, a relife, a renewal. I do want to be hungry for something spiritual. And so I'm getting this, and it helped me this morning. I'm even convicted about it in some ways, and I would like for God to do something real and lasting in my heart. Can I see your hand this morning? If that's you, and if it's not you, I don't know why. All right, amen. That's good. All right, then desire, pray, believe. All right. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. All this talk of revival, and you think, well, remember what I said in the message? The Holy Spirit of God does a work in a person's heart to bring them to salvation in Christ. Not in a church or religion, but in Christ. And you'll know, friend, you'll know when you get born again into God's family. What he's saying about this morning, it was down at the feet of Jesus. That's where it is. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, I'm not going to call anybody's name in prayer. But I would just like to know that the Spirit of God may be working on you. If you're not sure you're saved, and you're not ashamed of that, and you really just wonder what it's all about, you say, Pastor, I need to know more about it. If that's you, could you just slip your hand up, and I'm just going to pray in a minute here. If you need to be saved, you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Are you saved? Is that something you'd like to know about, more about, learn about, and be born again? And if it is, all you got to do is when some people come to pray in just a minute, tell one of these men down here, I want to know about this matter of being saved. If you're here because you've been saved and you came to be baptized, then you've been saved and now you're baptized, then that's fine. Come at this time. But we need God's people to respond. And if you're not sure that you're saved, and this is kind of all foreign, at least give God the opportunity to speak to your heart. Father, I pray that you'll work in our hearts this morning. We don't want to wait till next Sunday. I pray now, this morning, today, this moment, you'll begin a work in our heart to prepare our church for the meetings that will come next week. Help us, I pray, not to be content to live without you stirring our hearts, changing us where necessary. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that's not sure that they're saved and there's some pulse beating in their soul, I pray that you'll please bring them to Christ this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together. Our pianist begins a song of invitation. If you need to use the altar, now is the time. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come? We can show you from God's Word how to be born into God's family. Have salvation. Full and free. Are you saved? Would you come? While we wait this morning.